Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 15th of January. This is 2021. I know, it's not as good as last year. The intro. I don't mean the year. I just mean the intro. It was a lot more fun to say this is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, TGIF.
Indeed. In what will come as a surprise to approximately no one, it is Security Friday. And we have, I would like to start with sort of a follow-up to last week's practical tip, where we talked about what kinds of encryption there are and how much encryption you can have. So we have a slight follow-up to that this week, which is, I guess, managing expectations about encryption on iOS, right?
Well, before we get to that, I also wanted to follow up with something we talked about last week.
Okay.
So one of our practical tips was WhatsApp had updated their privacy policy to share user data with Facebook. And we talked about using apps like Signal. And Signal is open source. It's one of the highest rated apps in the privacy circles. And I just wanted to mention something that I didn't really think to mention at that time. So open source apps, I think like Signal, you know, open source means that they don't get the same amount of money. Like they don't have the same amount of like money making scheme that these paid apps do.
Business model. There's not really a business model for something like that. Yeah. And like because it's open source, a lot of people are also donating their time. So it's not necessarily somebody's job to go make X dollars an hour, 40 hours a week going and working on something that's open source. Sometimes it is, depending what it is, but not everything necessarily works that way.
Yes. So a lot of open source software is volunteering. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a nice idea if you're switching over to Signal full time, maybe give the developers a couple dollars.
Yeah.
I think with apps like that, they'll probably have some type of make a donation button within their app. But if they don't, they'll probably have it on their website. I think the example I was going to give was, as PBS says, they rely on support by viewers.
Support and in the from case users of open source, like you. Yeah.
Yes. And in the case of open source, they rely on users and downloaders like you.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Now, I just opened Signal so that I could see if it says anything in here about donating. So if you go to the settings, the very bottom option is donate to Signal, and you have the option of a custom amount or, you know, some other amount, and you can make a one-time donation or a monthly donation. So, you know, if it's if it's important, you know, $2-3 a month seems like a very reasonable thing to me for your messaging platform to stay your messaging platform. You know, so that it can continue to exist and continue to be helpful. And Signal is worked on by a foundation, so they may have people whose full time job is Signal. I'm not entirely sure. I think they're hiring. I thought I saw that go by recently.
Yeah.
So they are a company, like a place where there are full time developers whose whole job is to go spend 40 hours a week working on the app. But a lot of that comes from donation. So I would definitely say they are one that you should check out. So, yeah, go kick some money to Signal.
So moving on to our first news piece.
Yes.
We found out that some security researchers at the Johns Hopkins University were studying the security measures of Android and iOS, specifically when it comes to their encryption and how they handle encryption. And they found out that iOS, it's not as private or secure as it could be. And that's not really a knock against iOS. They did reach out to Apple, who said, we do take security extremely seriously, but we also want to find some kind of balance between security and convenience.
Yes.
So what they found is they wanted to know how law enforcement can sometimes bypass your phone's encryption with
That's
companies
a good question.
Like Cellebrite. What?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah. So with companies like Cellebrite and I think Grakey is another one. So these are tools that they plug into your phone and they can extract stuff. Well, how do they do that? So on iOS, there are two different kinds of two different levels or states that your phone can be in. And security researchers usually refer to them as BFU, which is before you first unlock your phone, and AFU, which is after the first unlock. Mm-hmm. So when your phone has been turned off and you first turn it on without logging in, it's in this state that Apple calls complete protection, mm-hmm. or BFU. So in this state, security protections are very high, the highest they can be, and it's very difficult for someone like Cellebrite to extract any meaningful unencrypted data from the device. Once you unlock your phone, though, it enters the AFU state. And in this state, a lot of the device's encryption keys these researchers found are stored in quick access memory for faster retrieval. And if there are certain vulnerabilities in iOS, and there always are in any system, depending on what it is, a third party could grab these keys and then use those to decrypt parts of your data.
Okay. So this is part of why one of the tips, if you want to make sure, like if there were some reason that you would want to prevent access to your phone, that you should turn it off. Or turn it off and then like make that, you know, like if it was a law enforcement issue, for example, make law enforcement turn it on, tell them your phone is off. And when they turn it on, they can't get in because none of that stuff is in the quick access. If you turn it off, or like if you restart it and don't unlock it, you know, turn off Face ID or Touch ID, then no one else can get into it because it's in that complete protection mode. So,
and they did mention developers do actually, so I didn't know this part, developers do have the option for the apps to always remain in that kind of complete protection mode, and maybe the security keys are better protected, but I don't think there's a way to tell unless you contact the developer directly.
I assume they'd have to tell you that yes, it's always in that state or not, so.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so that's a good follow-on to last week's discussion about what kind of encryption you're currently using and how that may, how you should be aware of that and how that might change. So, interesting. I did see that article go by and I was glad we were going to get a chance to talk about it. So, we also have an update about Big Sur. And as odd as this sounds, everyone on Big Sur now has to play by the same rules when it comes to the firewall.
Yeah, so when Big Sur was first released, I think it was Patrick Wardle. So he wrote up because I supported him on Patreon. So he made a whole post on there about what happened. Mm-hmm. So he first noted way back when that Apple in Big Sur has deprecated third-party kernel extensions, also known as KEXs. Mm-hmm. KEXT, kind of hard to say.
It is.
So these include network kernel extensions, or NKEs, and these are used by apps like firewalls to monitor network traffic. Now, in the beginning, Apple had kind of switched it around and made it so that their apps were a bit more privileged, and they would just go right through the firewall as if it couldn't affect it at all. Mm-hmm. But the most recent update is that now they changed their minds, they kind of backtracked a little bit, and so everything is equal. Apple's apps will be routed through a third-party firewall, just like all the other apps.
Right, and that's good news. Now everything's treated the same. You can get expected behavior from all of them, regardless of what the app is that you're using. And again, good news, at least.
Yeah, and because Patrick had found out that it's not just Apple's own apps. There was some mechanism where it could be possible for malware to abuse these excluded items lists for this network traffic, which means they could go through firewalls too. So that was kind of the second part of that.
Yeah, that's the problem is that And, you know, we see this with any sort of security model, right, is that if anyone can get in, then anyone can get in. And you don't necessarily want it to be the bad guys. So it's kind of good news that again, you know, awareness, and now all of Apple's apps have to go by the same rules. So that's nice. So good news. Now, this week, and this is going to sort of go along with our practical tip. We do talk a lot, especially lately, now that they're actually a thing out in the world. We talk about the App Store nutrition labels, I think is like the shorthand for referring to them. The very clearly stated outline of what the data is in the app and who else gets the data that's in the app when you give data to the app. Like, who gets it? Am I selling it to advertisers? Am I keeping it all for myself? Does it ever go anywhere at all? You know, that sort of thing. And there's been a settlement with an app called Flow that is a cycle and fertility tracking app with loads and loads and loads and loads of users. And basically what happened was Flow was sharing its data with Facebook and also with Google. And I say share, but I think it was selling its data to Facebook and Google. And both of those organizations are organizations with a long and storied history of using that data. Some would say against you. So they would say to make sure that you get relevant advertising, I think is what all of them say this is in the name of. Like, we just want to make sure that you get ads that are relevant to you. And Flow was sharing this data with these other companies, and there was no way, if you used the app, there was no way for you to keep your health information from being sent to Facebook. So, fabulous news, right? So, the FTC got involved. The FTC basically told them to knock it off. Would have been nice if there was a fine. This is an app with over 100 million users, and that didn't happen. But the interesting piece about it, to me anyway, and part of the reason it comes up on today's show, is because a lot of people, I think, you know, at least, you know, at first blush, right, talk about like, well, my health data is secret. You know, my health data is mine. It's not going anywhere. If I install an app, I know my phone keeps my data safe. Like, I have an iPhone, and, you know, and everybody says that Apple cares a lot about security. And, you know, I know my data is going to be secret if I have it on my phone, but the app may disagree with you on what level of privacy you actually get if you're using that particular app. So that's why I want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to health, if a health app wants to access your health information, like a third-party health app, if they want to plug into the Apple's health app, I think you'll probably, it's been a while since I've used a health app, but I think you'll probably get a privacy pop-up just like any other app, which will ask you permission. Mm-hmm. And you can go back later into the health app settings, find that toggle, and turn it off if you don't want that health app to access your data anymore.
Right. But I think, off the top, you know, like, my first reaction in looking at health apps is like, well, you know, my data is secret. Like, you know, my data is private data. And that only really works in practical terms with, like, the data you have at the doctor's office, right? Or, you know, at the doctor's office or at the hospital or whatever. And, you know, everybody has to sign, like, a HIPAA thing when you get a new doctor and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, for example, like, if something bad were to happen to me, it would be really hard for, even though we're married, it might be hard for Mr. Kelly to get a hold of any of that information if I'm incapacitated in some way, because of all the privacy around medical records. But medical records are not the same as health data. And so, like, initially, you know, I would think the same thing. Like, if I was going to go download an app like this, I would look at it and go, well, you know, my data's like, medical data is private, it's secret, like, it's fine. And it turns out that Flow's like a bad actor in this case and going, we're going to take all this, we're going to give it to Facebook and Google. Facebook's just sort of the larger offender of the two. Because at least Google admits that's what they're doing, and Facebook tries to act like they're still the good guy in this. So that's part of what makes this stand out to me, is also just that it's sort of an occasional reminder, you know, that health apps, if you install a health app is going to be like any other app on your phone. And it has no obligation to keep health data private. If it's something that you want to keep private, like there's no... there's not necessarily an incentive with health data any more or less than any other data, like whether it's, you know, notes and you're entering possibly sensitive information into a note taking app or something like that. Like it's all kind of the same thing. You just kind of have to remember that when you're downloading third party stuff, like the health app, that stuff's secure. The things that you give directly, you know, that you feed directly into iOS, like that stuff's all relatively protected. But anything that you go download from the App Store, it might be a different story, and it's just kind of good to have that reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So our last thing today is the actual practical tip. Speaking of privacy and thinking twice about things, it's January and a lot of people do sort of, you know, annual review kinds of things and, you know, that sort of stuff in January. So the one I'd like to point out this week is reviewing permissions for stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good idea every so often to go to a website, whatever website you use, Facebook, Twitter, a lot of social media apps have this, but I'm sure a lot of other, depending on the functionality of the Apple website, they have this too, where every so often go into the settings of that service and see if there's something about managing permissions. If they do let other apps connect to your account, and if there's an app you don't use on there anymore, you can, I'm sure there's a way for you to just remove it completely, for example, or maybe you change your mind about something. It's kind of similar to what I was talking about with the health toggles.
Yeah.
So you can just, you know, turn it off, remove it, and their data flow is cut off.
Yeah. And this, lots of people probably have this because you've hit the button instead of entering your email and having to make up a password or wait for the password manager to make one up and have to save a whole new thing, just using the login with Facebook button or the login with Twitter button. And there are a lot of places that have, login, sign in with Google, I think is another one. And the nice thing about using those is they're super convenient, but also like if you use it once or twice and then don't use it anymore, that doesn't make you any less susceptible to being part of a leak if something on that website were to get leaked. So, you know, it's slightly less bad, but it's still not great. So go every once in a while and then remove the stuff that you don't recognize anymore. And this works in a lot of places because there are other things that you can connect your stuff too. So, you know, maybe you have Instagram set up to go somewhere else, or you're using Flickr integration on a different website to show your photos somewhere, something like that. And there's a lot of ways that some web services can interact with other web services. And so it's very good to go review those every once in a while. And January is kind of a good time to do that. So this is your reminder. So go to Facebook. I know on Twitter it's called Connected Apps, I think is what it's called, or Authorized Apps, something like that in your account settings. I don't remember where it is in Facebook because I don't let Facebook have anything. So I don't know where to go review it. But there's a place like that in your account settings. Like you click on your name or your, you know, your image in the top right corner and then go, review the settings that are in there. So it's, you know, security or authorized apps or something like that, that you can go check out. So that's going to do it for us today. If you have questions for Security Friday, or anything about the rest of the show, you can always give us your feedback. Give us a call, but you can't really give us a call. You can send your voicemails, how's that, to observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So thank you, Andrew, for coming by today for Security Friday. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
I'm Kelly Gamont. I will talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.